Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house this morning. We're so glad that you're here. It's good to see all of the smiling faces here in the sanctuary. And also to greet those that might be in the parking lot and maybe greet some that will later be listening on the website. Rejoice that we can be in the presence of the Lord. It's great to see you folks and to see one another and to love on one another as Christian brothers and sisters. But it's also wonderful to know that when we meet together in His name, Jesus is here with us. And His presence makes all the difference. May we pray. Father, we bow before You today, thanking You that You're here. Oh, we welcome You. We honor You. We praise You. We worship You. We magnify the name of Jesus. We may pray that You'll be glorified as we spend time with You today. Father, You know the needs of every person that's listening, both here in the sanctuary and those in the parking lot and those that might be on the website. And so, Father, out of Your mercy, Your grace, Your love, Your power, Your omniscience, pour out upon each of us that which we need the most. We give You thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, good morning. Let's all stand together. And if you want to turn in your hymn books, it's 425 instead of 525. He keeps me singing. We're going to do 1, 2, and 5 this morning.
I think most of you know Brother Leonard's wife, Donna, is in the hospital, and he's taking care of her today, which is exactly what he needs to be doing. And so I'll be doing the announcements and the prayer request. And again, we welcome you to the Lord's house. Reminds you, Wednesday night, we're doing a Bible study. Right now, we're in 2 Corinthians, about a little over halfway through, but we invite you to come and study God's Word and pray with us on Wednesday nights. Remember, Bible school, June 27th through July the 1st. Have a meal at 5:30 each evening. And Bible school then from 6 to 8. Anything else you want to say, Miss Rita? Thank you.
Pastor, up here. We're also needing desserts. So if you're willing to make cakes, pies, cookies, whatever, for desserts at night, we need them. And also donations for the meal night. Depending on how many we have, to feed everybody each night is $75 to $100.
Okay. All right. Also, notice in your bulletin that we have some couples that have volunteered to keep the nursery during worship service. Now, they'll be checking, and if they're babies or infants, toddlers back there, then they'll stay. If not, they'll come on back out and join us in the worship service. But feel free to invite family and friends that have little ones to come and be a part of the service. Any other announcements?
We have a cold conference today.
All right, prayer requests. You have a long list on the back of the bulletin. Also, Jeff Eford, who was in a wreck this week, want to remember him in prayer. And I have a little printout that we're asked to pray for Taylor Malden. And actually they're saying pray at 11:10. Hopefully we'll be gone from here by 11:10. But we'll pray now. And if you think about on the way home, if you think about Taylor Malden, she's been diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian cancer and is currently receiving chemo treatments. So remember her in prayer. Other prayer request.
I just got a text from Leonard that Donna's cultures didn't come back showing still bacteria, so it don't look like she may or may not get out of the hospital tomorrow.
Yesterday or this week. So they
Anyone else? Okay, let's pray. Fathers, we bow before you this morning. We thank you that you're such a loving God, such a great and a mighty God. And Father, you know every request that's been uttered here this morning. You know details about each situation that none of us can begin to know. Thank you that you know the hidden request of hearts that were not made public. For Father, I know that many have those hidden, silent prayer requests. And Lord, we lift them up to you. Each one's important to you. Each one's special. Each one is worthy of your love and your attention. And Lord, I thank you that you're not like we are. If we focus on one, we miss the other. You can focus on every need all at the same time. And so, Father, we lift up every one of these, every one of them. Touch their bodies, their minds, their spirits. Father, for family members that gather around, I pray, Father, that you'll be with them. Lord, sometimes being the caregiver is the hardest. And so, Father, I just pray that you'll be with those caregivers. Father, I pray for our Bible school that it might be a great time and that some of our young people will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Bless each person that's going to be a teacher, a leader, a helper. Give them wisdom and insight as they plan and prepare for this special week. Once again, Father, we thank you for your presence and for the anointing of the Holy Spirit as we sing, as we worship, as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. So let's all enjoy a time of praise. We've done several of Michael W. Smith's praise songs, and I know this is going to be a familiar tune to most. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. It is repetitive, but it's beautiful. Just take yourselves to a quiet, happy moment with just you and the Lord, and just enjoy as we do this time of praise together. Stand with me.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes. lifted up.
Children dismissed for children's church. You know, that little praise chorus is excellent for what I want to share with us today. Is the prayer of your heart really, I want to see God? I really want to see God. I really want to see Him. Let me start by asking you two questions. Be careful about raising your hands now. First question is this: how many of you want to be a wimpy Christian? A defeated Christian? A barely getting along Christian? Second question is just the opposite. How many of you want to be a strong, dynamic, powerful, overcoming, victorious Christian? Well, you know, the simplest truths sometimes are the most powerful. Did you know you get to choose which type of Christian you're going to be? God doesn't play favorites. God doesn't do any, many, miny, mo, and, oh, I'm going to make this one a real wimp. Devil's going to whip on them every time. Any, many, miny, oh, I'm going to make this one a strong one. They're going to be a devil-defeating Christian. God doesn't sit in heaven and play favorites. God enables us to to have a choice. Now we're going to look at two scriptures to start with. First is Mark 4, beginning at verse 23. Mark 4, beginning at verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him that shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he had. Notice right there at the end of verse 24, the ones who hear will receive more. Now go over to the book of Luke, chapter 8. And it's almost the same verse with one little difference. And I know some people would say, oh, one of those is a mistake in the Bible. But I see it as this. Jesus, no doubt, taught the same thing in many different places. And he taught it differently. I know I can preach the same sermon, but it never comes out the same. You know, it's not like I get up here and move my mouth and it's all coming over the sound system on a recording. No, it's different every time. And so in Luke 8, verse 18, it's almost, but just a little bit different. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. If you notice those two passages of Scripture, what we hear and how we hear makes all the difference in the world. What we hear and how we hear. Now you think about what you hear. And when I'm talking about hearing, I'm talking about not just with your ears, but what you read with magazines and books and what you listen to in tapes and TV and movies and music. All of that is involved in what we hear. You know, we can hear gossip. We can hear hatred. We can hear prejudice. We can hear bad news, and we can fill our minds with all kinds of things like that. The end result, you're going to have a bad attitude. We're going to be depressed. We're going to have fears. We're going to worry. We may put our hatred into action and violence or against somebody else. It all depends on what we've heard. You know, so often those that have great acts of violence, the shootings, they've saturated their minds with hate against blacks, against gays, against Christians. You know, in Africa, about 80 people were killed in a church service. Somebody that hated Christians. You know, we fill our minds and it affects what we do. You hear enough bad news, want you to get down in your bomb shelter, pull the lid over it, and wait for the rapture. Bad news. Or what about if you hear false religion? People that grow up in countries where they are taught a false religion, they think that's the way to God. What about people that are here about atheism or unbelief? And you know, this is one of the things that bothers you. We have young people that come to a Christian churches as children. They grow up in the Sunday school. They grow up in Bible school. Maybe the RAs, GAs, other groups go through the youth group. And then they go off to college. And an atheistic, unbelieving professor drums into their head, the Bible's false, the Bible's full of errors, the Bible's outdated. And this kid comes out of college totally unbelieving. It happens every year. They hear, and what they hear is drummed into their heads until they think, well, Mom and Dad must have been wrong. Mom and Dad and the preacher were just old fogies. So all of this Christianity stuff is trash. What about people who go to a church and what they hear is a watered down, Bible denying belief? The end result is, one, they may not even get saved. But even if they get saved, they usually are very weak and immature spiritually. Or they can go to a Bible-believing church where the Bible is taught and preached, and they can hear God's word, and they can come to salvation, and they can come to a strong life as a believer. What we hear makes a difference. What we hear makes all the difference in the world. And nobody but you choose what you hear. Nobody but you chooses whether you listen to all that on TV. I remember years ago being in a home. 24 hours a day almost, it seemed like. Bad news TV. And the lady who was, you know, in the house, it was just like, she was just depressed. And I thought, if you just turn some of that garbage off. I mean, we don't want to not know any of the news. You want to know what's going on in the world. But you can saturate your mind in such a way that you absolutely just feel terrible. What we hear makes all the difference. But how we hear also makes a difference. Now you see, even if we say, well, now, preacher, I go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church. But how we hear makes all the difference. Now, this is where we need to get really drastically honest with ourselves. How do we hear? How do we hear? Do we hear regularly or just when it's convenient? You know, as a pastor, you know who's regularly in church. And you know who's there just when it's convenient. I didn't have anything else to do today, so I guess I'll go to church. Do we hear regularly or when it's convenient? Do we sleep? Daydream, plan our to-do list while it's being taught and preached. And hey, I've been guilty of all three. I've been guilty of all three. But how intense are we in focusing our hearing on what we're hearing or reading? There have been days in, you know, I'm honest. There have been days in my life, and you say, well, preacher, did you do your devotions this morning? Yeah. Read three verses, in, three chapters in the Bible. What were they? Can't remember. I wasn't focused on what I was hearing. How do we hear? There's another way sometimes we hear. Boy, that's good. I hope Billy Bob over there got it. Susie Jane over here, I hope she got it. You know, we're looking over there to see if they feel like, did they get it? It wasn't for me, it was for somebody else. You ever hear like that? I sure hope, or I sure wish so-and-so to have been here this morning because that message was just for them. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes we hear for somebody else and not for ourselves. Do we hear with a take it or leave it attitude, you know? Oh, well. And we become our own God. We vote. Well, yeah, I believe that. No, I don't believe that. Even though it's plain as day in the Bible, we just sort of vote. Yes, no, whether we're, you know, we become our own God. And we don't listen with the eyes of our understanding, trying to hear really from the Lord. Are we really attentive when we hear? How are we hearing? Here's another one. Do we hear with an openness to learn new truths and to change our ideas or our opinions? You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will just totally shock us. I mean, like the Sunday school lesson today, when Jesus goes to talking to Nicodemus about being born again and being born from above, Nicodemus doesn't get it. It was totally new revelation to him. And sometimes the Holy Spirit does that with us as we're reading a passage of Scripture. And he totally opens a new revelation to us, and we have an opportunity then to say, oh, yeah, that's what the Bible says, so I'll apply it to my life. Or we have the idea of saying, well, that wasn't what my great-grandma taught me, so I don't care that what the Bible says at all. I'm just going to be stuck in my ways. Are we open for the Holy Spirit to teach us new truths? Are we willing to apply to our lives what God is teaching us? If we want to see the Lord, we have to be careful about what we hear, and we have to be careful about how we hear. Because you can have two lost people sitting right here, and one will get saved and one will leave lost, because one heard and applied and the other either didn't hear or heard and didn't apply. You can have two people that go to church all of their lives in the same church. One will become a spiritual wimp and the other will become a spiritual giant because of how they heard and what they heard. Now, let's turn over to 2 Kings chapter 22. And I think this is a great example. 2 Kings chapter 22. And it's only 20 verses, so I'm going to read all 20 of them and then make a few comments on it. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adai of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in all the way of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or the left. Came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, The king said unto Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. Let them deliver it unto the hand of the doers of the work, that they may have oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters, builders, masons, to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into the hand, because they dealt faithfully. Now you see, Josiah was a godly man. He became king at 8 years old. And it says on his 18th year, his 26th year, he came to realize that the temple that Solomon had built had fallen into disrepair. And so he sends word, said, gather the money that's been given, get you some carpenters and masons and some others, and fix the mess. And it says they were faithful and they did that very thing. Now see, Josiah's doing the best that he knows to do. He sees the temple of God in disrepair and he does something about it. Now that's a start. But then let's go on. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the scribe, came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of God. And Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest, has delivered me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. Now, you got to remember, they couldn't run down to a bookstore on every corner and buy a Bible in those days. There were just some scrolls, and probably not very many. And in the process of cleaning up the temple, fixing everything, they came across a Bible. They came across the scroll of the Old Testament. Well, not all of the Old Testament, but the parts of it that they had. They came across it. They said, what's this? And they began to read it. They said, oh, this is God's word. And they take it to the king. And they said, listen, look what we found. Now, up to this point, remember, Josiah's been doing the best he knew to do. And suddenly he's confronted with the word of God. Verse 11, came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent or tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Azaliah servant of the king saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all which is written concerning us. You see, Josiah is brokenhearted. He said, now wait a minute. You've just read to me God's word? I never heard this before. I didn't know we were supposed to be doing this. God is bound to be angry with us over this. You go talk to the Lord and find out what we can do about this. So Hilkiah the priest and Achim and Achor and Shaphan and Azaziah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikvah, the son of Hahas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the men that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which is the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, they have might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spoke against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse and has rent thy clothes, wept before me, I have also heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the word, the king word again. Notice, God says, listen, judgment's going to come because of the sins of the people. But Josiah's not coming in your lifetime because you heard the word of God, you had a tender heart, you were willing to repent, pray, cry. In other words, Josiah was doing all he could. When he hears the word of God, it affects him. It changes the way he's doing, and he saves a generation of his nation. Now we know the judgment later came, but not during Josiah's day. You see, Josiah heard the word of God, really heard it, and he heard it with a tender heart, a repentant heart, and his life changed the nation. You see, what we hear makes a difference. How we hear it makes a difference. We can change our own lives. We can change the lives of our family. We can change the lives of our nation, our church, by hearing the word of God and by acting upon it. We won't look in the scriptures, but in the book of Acts, we find that Paul went to Berea to preach. And it says the Bereans were more noble than the other folks because they got out their scriptures that they had of that day and checked over and over again to see if what Paul was telling them was the truth. Paul went to other places and preached, and folks just got angry. Paul goes to Berea and preaches, and they said, that sounds interesting. That sounds like a revelation from God. Let's get our Old Testaments, which is what they would have had at that point, and begin to read and study and see, let's line up with what Paul is teaching us with God's word. You go over in the book of Hebrews and you find another passage where it says, let's don't be like those folks that heard but didn't mix any faith with the word of God, and they missed out on the blessing of God. And of course, he's referring to the children of Israel who heard the word of God, I want to give you a promised land. But they didn't mix any faith in it to go in against the giants, and they missed out on 40 years of blessing. Refer again to what that scripture said there in Mark. If we hear, really hear, God will keep adding revelation and blessing and strength to us, and we grow stronger and stronger and stronger and more dynamic and more powerful as believers in Jesus. Our Christianity becomes a walk, not a trouble-free walk, but a powerful walk. But those who do not hear, he says, even what little they know will be taken away. And it's sad, you know, that there are people that they join the church, they get saved, they join the church, but they never grow. And they get on up in years, and it's just like they were never even saved to start with. So sad. We have a choice. We can be a wimpy, defeated Christian, or we can be a powerful Christian. Simple little truth. What are you hearing? How are you hearing? How are you responding to what you hear? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? The Holy Spirit's convicting you of anything. If you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you come? Just step out and come down the aisle, and I'll meet you there. If there's other decisions you need to make, you can come to the altar and pray. Father, this is your time to speak to our hearts. Lord, may we be like James said, let us be doers of the word, not just hearers only. May we not deceive ourselves by thinking, oh, I know that, but may we do it. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding. We want to see you. We really want to see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.